Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens.
Raindrops on roses.
So, Kevin's
favorite thing.
Now, I'd like to pose a question to our audience.
Okay.
And your wife mentioned this. So let me ask you all. She had suggested at some point that we change the favorite things theme song.
Yes.
So, listeners, should we change it? And let me ask, should it be a whole new song entirely? Or should it be my favorite things, just a different interpretation?
Oh, I kind of like the idea of maybe, we can't even say it's like season one or two or three because we've literally done two episodes a week for the last 2.5 years.
So who knows?
So, but I think we could shake it up a little bit and have a little, a different version of
So we're going to keep my favorite things, but we're just going to change who's singing my favorite
things.
Maybe.
What do you guys think?
Listeners, we're taking a poll. It's a democracy.
Yes.
Vote. And then we'll make our own decision.
And if you have a favorite thing.
Yes, a favorite version of my favorite things.
Then let us know and maybe we'll use it.
Oh, we would love. Oh, Kevin.
Right?
Change. I get scared of change. Change don't come easy.
All I'm asking for is change. I know. Wait,
mine was from Memphis. What was your change song from?
A New Brain. Change the government, kill the mayor. It's not fair. How lies evaporate.
Wait,
change the system that made
Faya?
Us what we are.
Wait, do they, it's not fair?
I don't want more hugs. Just need money to buy more drugs. And if you folks pay, I'll go away. Mary
Kevin?
Testa. That was my Mary Testa. Homeless woman singing about change. But get it? It's like Carolina change. You're talking about change in your pocket. But also life change, Rob.
Change in your pocket, like a penny in my pocket. And in a little time, that penny in my
See
pocket.
See, you guys, just give us a word, and we'll go on non sequiturs for hours. Imagine how much fun we have when the mics aren't rolling.
I will say this. I always feel like we should do two shows. We should do this show. We should also keep on the microphones when we get into the room together beforehand, because that's when Kevin and I gossip, and that's the stuff we
have
can't put on
kiki.
The air. We have,
as they say on RuPaul's Drag Race, which is so good.
Wait a minute. I have a story to tell you.
Wait, what?
You're not going to believe this. I swear to you, this is a true story.
What?
I know that you watch Drag Race every week at a bar.
At All Stars. Well, sometimes I watch with Robbie Roselle, our friend from the podcast, Robbie. But Robbie's out of town. He's in doing Melissa Errico's concert in London. So we were at, Bubba's on Ditmars in Astoria.
Now.
Wait, do you know someone who's there that was there hanging out with us?
I know someone who's there who watches you watching Drag Race and says your reactions are sometimes more interesting than the show.
Wait.
I swear to God.
Wait, someone that's not my friends, like my wife and our like friends. So you guys, it's a small restaurant in my neighborhood, and it's a great restaurant. And the kid who's the bartender there, he sort of started it to be RuPaul's Drag Race night.
Yeah.
And so all the TVs are turned on to it, and it's really fun to watch with a whole bunch of people because we all scream and yell. And are you kidding me?
Oh, I hear someone screams and yells louder than any of the other patrons.
Not louder than everybody, but I definitely get wrapped up into it. It's one of my favorite television shows.
Okay. I'm just telling you. I just wanted you to know.
Who is watching me?
So a friend of mine who knows that we do the podcast and stuff saw a photo of you pop up and goes, oh my God. He's like, I know him. And I said, oh yeah. I said, have you guys met at some point, like from one of my shows? He goes, no. He goes, I watch RuPaul's Drag Race every Thursday. And he goes, this guy is always at the bar and he's always yelling and screaming the loudest at the television. He goes, this guy loves this show. And I said, that's my co-host, Kevin. So he knows you. So you've got
fans.
That's
nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, I don't know if I like being known for that, but that's really nice.
I think that's incredible.
Oh my gosh.
I thought that was so funny.
Hey, listen, I'm a fan. I'm proud. It's so good.
Listen, I will tell you, as a gay man, we appreciate straight allies like you.
If you're not going to love yourself, how are you going to let everybody else? I mean, come on.
So I usually don't watch, but I just, you know who I just worked with was Alexis Michelle.
Which is so cool.
She's amazing. We did Broadway Match Game at 54 Below.
Oh, what a great idea.
Or Snatch Game, I should
Hello,
say.
Hello, yes.
And, oh my God.
Which was not good this season.
I watched it this season. I watched.
The only good part was Paul Lynn, which is Ben LeCrem, which is the only
Oh, the Paul
person.
Lynn was really funny. Yeah, that was about it.
Yeah, it was not a good one this
year. And Kristen Chenoweth showed up.
Yeah, no, she played her, yeah.
Yeah, I only watch Drag Race for Snatch Game. Like, I will find out the week that Snatch Game is on.
That is the most popular.
I watch it. So, we started that at 54 Below now.
I think that is so cool. I think that is so exciting. You and Robbie Rozelle.
It was, yeah, Robbie and I did it together, and our panel was... George Salazar from Be More Chilled,
so
Jen
funny.
Cody, who was hysterical. I cannot even tell you how funny Jen
she
Cody was.
She is really funny.
I mean, like, wetting my pants funny.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie Rozelle, Julia Murney.
Great.
Who was amazing. Leroy Reams. who told...
The old guard.
He told the most fabulous stories.
Yeah, he's the Charles Nelson Reilly of the group.
He was. He was. And... Alexis Michelle, who was a sweetheart and is a huge Broadway fan. I have an idea for Alexis Michelle for a musical I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a revival of a musical. I want to ask the estate, though, if they're willing to let her do it. I'm very nervous. I don't even want to put it out there just yet.
Okay.
But I'm percolating on it. I'm gonna tell you off mic my idea for her. That's this is the show that I want
to
do with her.
Such a tease to everybody listening. Oh. He said it to me, and it's actually a really, really good idea.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Where she does one part of it
within
out the drag, and then one part in the drag.
Yeah, that would change the show.
It would.
That's fascinating. But that's...
But you know, that's on a clear day you can see ever bullshit.
No, truly. And that article just came out about how, like, reviving older shows is tough because the gender roles...
Yes.
And I thought that was a really interesting article about just the struggles that we are going to have when we revive these shows from the 50s and 60s because our roles have evolved since, you know, women were just a sex object as they walked in the room and...
I didn't read the article fully. I was just glancing at the headline, but it was you know, they're mentioning about Eliza Doolittle being molded by Henry Higgins,
right.
Billy Bigelow beating Julie Jordan.
Right. Let alone the Gigi's and the, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Well, some of those shows just don't need to be revived at all.
Still can't believe they did that with Vanessa Hudgens a couple years back.
That was a bizarre choice because I think she's very talented.
Oh, she's lovely.
I was like, this is just not the vehicle for it.
Uh-huh.
Gigi. I was talking to my musical theater students. They just had their final exam.
Yeah.
And one of the things I always put, and I'm interested to hear what our listeners have to say because their essays blow me away. Their last essay question on their final is, in the past few years, the musical theater is tackling subjects that were not once considered to even be comfortable for public discussion. So things is like, we have mental illness and next to normal.
Right.
We have gay parents in Fun Home. We have social media and Dear Evan Hansen.
And suicide. Yeah.
And suicide. What topics that have not been covered by musical theater do you think are due
that's really
for a discussion?
Yeah.
And the answers that come back, the essays that they
really
write are so amazing. And so surprising. So I'm always curious, if our listeners, what topics have not been discussed yet by musical theater that should be discussed
and
by musical theater?
And I will say
theater?
That, like, and I speaking of our students, you know, that generation, if there's anything that politics the last, you know, 2 weeks has taught me is that I have a whole newfound faith in the millennial generation that is not just distracted by, you know, the cell phone and all of that, but has a voice, a valid voice, and I think we underestimate their... what they're going to contribute to, you know, our world.
I'm so excited by seeing a whole new generation that are putting down their phone, picking up their phones
really,
and using it for good.
Yes.
And the pressure and the speeches. And I thought that none of this was going to change. I really didn't.
I know.
I really did. A couple of years ago, I mean, I don't want to get...
No,
too
I know,
off topic.
Because we've talked, because you were a poli sci major, and you always say that you're kind of more of a cynic. You've said not to put words in your mouth, but you have said that before that you are.
Yes,
you
know, I like to say a realist.
Okay. See, that's my cup half full attitude.
I like to say that I'm a realist. I thought, not to get too morbid, after Sandy Hook, I was like, if nothing is changing after Sandy Hook, nothing's going to change at all.
Right.
And then these kids have really given me some hope. A lot of right. So
didn't know you're getting into a political debate. Did you, debate or political chat? Did you today, friends? Sorry,
that's okay. But you know what?
That's what's it's going
a
on in this
free
world.
Country? And when I get upset and I get angry, I turn on my favorite thing.
Don't worry. My favorite thing is probably the most boring one and the most useless one, but I have to talk about it.
Yours?
Yeah. It's like, I mean, this is like the most nerdy of all nerdy favorite things. And I debated whether or not I wanted to say it, but I have to because there are some listeners out there who are not just, you know, the peripheral listeners of shows, but who are one of us who love it, love it, love it. And you probably already have this book, but I love this book so much. I was perusing it the other day. It's a reference book.
Oh, I love it. You know I love a reference book.
Oh my
book.
God. And you would think, really, you're going to talk about a reference book? I'm trying to look on your shelf to see if I can see
it. I keep
it.
A lot of books under my sofa.
That's probably where it is. I love this book. It is an author that I really want to get on the podcast because he's written a lot. Because, you know, we've got a couple theater book writers that are well known.
Yeah.
You know, we've got our friend Peter Felicia, who we love, love, love.
Love Peter.
Peter. We love Ken Mannebaum, who would
Ken, come on the show, please.
Of having
Ken, please.
Dream of it. And then we have Stephen Susskind.
I love Stephen Susskind.
Great Stephen Susskind,
yes.
who has done, in this book, I can only imagine the exhaustive research that this man must have done. Bless his family for letting him do all of the listening that he had to do in order to create the book that is called Show Tunes.
Yes.
Do you know this reference book?
I know it, and I own a copy. Yes, it's under the sofa.
Is like the nerdy of all nerdy musical theater books. It is, yes, a reference book. It literally goes through all of the shows and composers of the last century. The published one I have is of year 2000. I believe that there is one more version that's like more recent.
Yes.
But I'm just going to speak on the one from 2000 because it's still valid. Because to me, it's more of a history book than anything, a reference book. If you need to know about Dear Evan Hansen, just go online, you can find stuff. But for this is about the 900 shows and 8,000 show tunes that he covers. And it not only is just like, oh, you know, I Married an Angel, this is 19, and this is who wrote it. He lists the songs that were recorded, lists the songs that may have been cut from the show, lists the songs that were cut out of town, lists, and then he like does like a little commentary on it. So this man listened to every single one of these albums and is like, yes, this song is great, and this song was sung by so-and-so, and goes into like detail with reference numbers so you can, you know, go to the back of the book, and the indexes are really fun for those of us who like this kind of thing, you know, the facts, like it's like baseball cards, and you're like,
yes,
oh, what were the 19, and they list the shows from the 40s, the 50s, 60s, and beyond in order, and then the appendix has like collaborator appendix, he has the song title appendix, he has the bibliography, he has the list of list of the productions chronologically. I can't say enough about this book. Then he lists shows by composer, so he'll talk about Larry Grossman and the shows that he wrote. He'll talk about, you know, Stephen Schwartz, which, you know, it's funny because it's 2000, so we don't even have Wicked yet, which I find very interesting. So you don't even know that Stephen Schwartz is going to give you that. And I love seeing guests that we've had, like Larry Grossman and Charles Strauss. It always makes me happy when I think, oh my gosh, we got to talk to them. So friends, if you want to listen to those interviews, go back down the podcast list and go down that rabbit hole. Is it the kind of book that if you're on the fringe of musical theater, are you going to get this book and sit down and read it? No, probably not. But it's a great reference for the actor who's trying to find new songs to put in your audition book, or it's a great reference just for the fan of musical theater that just wants to learn some other shows by, you know, a composer of a show that you love, and you want to get some information about other Jerry Herman shows.
I tell that to all my students. I'm like, when they come in, they're like, I'm going to sing maybe this time from Cabaret. I'm like, you know, Kander and Ebb wrote 17 other shows,
exactly.
I think. So, you know, this is a great place for students of musical theater, I agree with you, to start going down the list and seeing if there's anything for them, and also getting exposed to shows they might not have known.
Indeed. That's exactly right. So I like it because I always learn something every single time I pick it up. And yes, you can Google stuff and online, but Stephen has done such a good job of organizing it and putting little commentary and little bits of information in there, and it's exhaustively researched. So thank you, Stephen, for A, putting this book together, B, for doing all the research and giving it to us.
Come on the show, Stephen. We'd love to have you.
You know?
You know, he also wrote those opening nights on Broadway book?
Oh, yes.
Where they compile...
With the blurbs of the reviews.
Yes.
That'd be a good favorite thing in the future.
Oh, there's two of them. There's opening nights on Broadway and more opening nights on Broadway. I love those books as well.
Great books. And then you really get to feel like, oh, this is what it was like in 1962.
Yes.
In the theater climate, you know, at this time.
And that stuff isn't online. The fact that it's all compiled into one place.
Right.
Is, I mean, if you try to look up something now that's like from the New York Daily News 40 years ago, you can't find it. Just it takes
not the periphery magazines.
No.
You're right.
You it know, takes
you can get
forever.
The New York Times ones, but not like yes, you're and exactly
even that's
right.
Rare.
Not Women's Daily. Not the Women's Daily. Whatever.
The Martin Gottfried.
You know,
Women's Wear Daily.
Exactly, Women's Wear Daily. So my favorite thing is the reference book Show Tunes by Stephen Susskind. Bet you didn't know that existed.
Why are you so embarrassed, Kevin? It's such a good reference.
It, to me, is a very limited in scope because it is a reference book, and it's like saying, hey, go get Encyclopedia Britannica for fun. But for me, it is fun. And I know that we have some listeners out there who maybe are diehard fans like we are and actually have not looked at this book. And when you do, you're going to love it.
Absolutely.
So because I'm joking because I feel like I'm appealing to like 20% of our listeners. maybe it's higher than I think.
I think they're listening to us for this reason. I don't think someone has just stumbled upon this podcast.
They're like, gee, man, why are they listening? Why are they talking about so much Show Tunes? That's gay.
What is this?
I love when you do your straight voice. Your bro voice.
Who's Nanette Fairbairass?
That was good.
She sleep with Trump?
Oh my god.
Oh. She was Stormy Daniels?
Oh my gosh.
Man,
So what's your favorite thing before that gets
praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater. SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Scary.
Before we go back to political again.
Yes.
I don't vote, man. What's the point? My girlfriend's father ran for city council.
Nope.
But then he had to quit because he like embezzled or something. So now she lives in a condo next to my stepmom. It's very depressing. It's a very depressing day. It's from those Bergman films from last week. They're still
imbuing
me.
I know.
Mine is a musical.
Okay.
Or a musicale, as we might say back in the old days. And I will tell you why I got inspired to talk about this musical.
Okay.
I saw Encores. Hey, Look Me Over, the 25th anniversary of City Center Encores.
I wish I was on vacation. I was not able to see it. And I wish
I didn't even ask you. How was vacation?
Oh, it was great. It was beautiful.
Paris, Amsterdam.
It was a dream come true.
You brought me back a keychain.
I brought you back a Paris Eiffel Tower keychain.
You were so sweet. And I already put it on my keys.
Aw, I love it.
So every time I reach into my pocket and the Eiffel Tower stabs me, I'll be like, damn it, Kevin.
I was like, sometimes it's. I had one in it. I'm like, nah, it's not a great keychain, but it looks cute.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
Thank you for the gift.
Yeah, we had a great time. It
good.
Was great.
I'm so happy you guys had a good time and you deserved it.
But we missed Hey, Look Me Over.
You missed Hey, Look Me Over.
Yeah.
So Hey, Look Me Over, for those of you that don't know, Encores in New York is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year. Can you imagine? 25 years of, don't yawn when I tell you how wonderful it is. I literally tell Kevin he's rubbing his eye going,
I'm like scratching my eyes and yawning.
I'll tap. Do you want me to tap to make it more interesting? Do a time step.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did was, this was really fascinating. They took 8 musicals that Encores has not produced in its 25 years and gave us little samplings of each of them.
Right, because like the fans of it are always like, why are they doing this and not doing Wildcat?
You know? So let me... Perfect segue, by the way. Yes. So one of the things that they did, that people sit there and go, why aren't they doing this?
I want Goldilocks, for God's sakes. And I do. I do.
I think
Goldilocks.
We are. And I think Jack really, Fertel even was like, that might happen Goldilocks. At some point. Yeah, so,
okay. But, please, but I get some of them, though. Like, you know, Fig Leaves Are Falling is not going to happen at Encores anytime soon.
Shucks.
Yeah.
Because I really like that song. I like that whole show. You introduced me to that show. I didn't know that show at all.
Score.
And I was listening to it a lot.
It's good.
Their conceit was that they were going to show you samples of 8 musicals that had not come to the Encore stage yet. And it was hosted by or narrated by the man in chair from Drowsy Chaperone.
Like, so literally, Bob Martin was
there? Bob Martin came in.
What?
Dressed as man in chair and was like, I wrote Mr. Fertel and said, why aren't you doing this show? Why aren't you doing that show? And he was finally like, fine, you program it.
That's a really funny idea.
It is funny. I will say this, a little criticism. I wish they had used him. Oh, shit.
Okay, hold on. Pause.
I was
Rob's
doing research.
TV literally just popped on right now. So you can see like what he's watching. And you all know he's like loves his old stuff, but man, I was not expecting to see Lucy calls the president. What is this, Rob? After Indiana housewife Lucy Whitaker, Lucille Ball calls the White House to discuss a housing project, she finds herself making preparations for the president to visit her home for dinner. Calamity and comedy follows as Lucy frantically prepares for the momentous event with the eager support of her family, friends, and neighbors. Just some light watching, are you, Rob?
So let me explain.
First of all, I didn't even know there was a movie with Lucy. I didn't know
that.
Well,
it was a TV
51-minute movie from 1977.
It was
older Lucy.
So let me explain this. Let me defend myself.
Taking a picture.
Let me defend myself while you mock my viewing habits. So very quickly. There was a television special from 1977 that Lucille Ball made called Lucy Calls the President, in which Lucille Ball is going to invite President Jimmy Carter over to dinner. It has not been on YouTube. It has not been available on VHS. It has not been available anywhere. It is like the holy grail of Lucy items.
Wait, what is this on? This is on
Amazon Prime. So I got an Amazon Prime subscription, and I was watching it, and it said, hey, Lucy Calls the President is on. And look at that, my friend. It got 4.5 out of 5 stars.
It's got really good.
8 out of 10 on IMDb. Not even The Shape of Water or 3 Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri got 8 out of 10 stars on IMDb.
All right.
And it's a little sad because now they're all older. And Ethel Mertz, Vivian Vance is in it, but she had a stroke.
Oh, no.
So they can only film her from one side so you can't see. No, I'm being dead serious.
Oh, God.
So you can't see.
Like the one side that
the fact that like half of her face is paralyzed.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's a little sad to watch, but I watched it. So I watched Lucy Calls the President.
All right.
It's also kind of sad because she's older and like watching her do physical comedy, you go like, oh God, you're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah, she's like a character.
It's not as funny as when she was like Lucy Ricardo doing it.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
This is actually so appropriate for my favorite thing for today. So I will try to wrap up my Encores thing to lead into my favorite thing.
And that commercial was brought to you by Kevin's brain getting sidetracked.
But go on to Amazon Prime because they've got a lot of great stuff on there.
Thanks for that.
So the man in chair, my only criticism was he didn't really give a lot of context on the shows. He just came, he would literally come out and be like, Jamaica opened in 1957 with a score by this and stored Lena Horne.
But it would be nice to have a little fun fact about it.
Yeah, I was hoping that they would do that more. They didn't. But the shows that they presented were Milk and Honey, Mac and Mabel.
Oh.
The Mac and Mabel section literally made everybody.
I mean, everyone loves that. Everyone's like, oh, if only we could get that ending to work.
Oh, it was
so
good.
I mean, it's such a good score.
It was so good. Green Willow.
I love Green Willow.
Oh, my God. God damn it.
Never will I marry.
This guy who sang it, my God, I can't remember his name right now, and he was so fucking brilliant. He was so good. Sail Away.
Oh, of course.
B.B. Newworth and the Elaine Stritch.
Why do the long people travel?
George M., in which at the end,
interesting.
Joel Grey came out and tapped and sang.
Isn't that special?
As George M. Cohan.
That's pretty cool.
All American.
Love me some All American.
Jamaica, which I knew.
Great score.
Nothing about.
Harold Arlen, you can't go wrong.
I knew nothing about Jamaica, and I'm obsessed with it.
Can't go wrong with Harold
they
Arlen.
They had Vanessa Williams do Push the Button.
From House of Flowers? No.
No, from
Jamaica.
Jamaica.
Jamaica. I'm sorry, I'm thinking of.
You're thinking of. I know what you're thinking of from
I'm thinking
House
like
of Flowers.
Two ladies in the Shade of the Banana. I know exactly what you're thinking. I don't know.
And was there another one? Oh, and then the ending was very touching. The cast came out, they bowed. And they said, we want to present one more song for you. And they sang the Statue of Liberty song from Miss Liberty. It's the music that Irving Berlin said to the words that are on the Statue of Liberty. Mm-hmm. It was very, one very of the things moving. That was so cool about Hey, Look Me Over was there was this tone of optimism and the tone of American can-do spirit throughout the entire show. But the first thing they showed us was my favorite thing. And the first thing they showed us was, from 1960, you just made fun of her.
Wildcat.
It was Wildcat.
It was Wildcat. Well, Hey, Look Me Over.
Hey, Look Me Over.
Which I don't know at all.
Well, Kevin.
Is it Albert Haig?
No.
No, it's Cy Coleman.
It's Cy Coleman, Carolyn Lee.
Yeah.
It's their first Broadway score together. It's a book by N. Richard Nash. Originally, the score was supposed to be written by Van Heusen, Jimmy Van Heusen, and Sammy Kahn. And they did not write it. It went to Cy Coleman and Carolyn Lee.
Was it his first score as well?
It was.
Broadway?
It was. It was there for, because it was 1960.
Yeah, so he hadn't done Little Me.
He hadn't done Little Me. He hadn't done Sweet Charity.
Wow.
All right.
So his first Broadway score.
So the story of Wildcat... It's fascinating. The idea was by a guy named N. Richard Nash,
right? Who wrote 110 or
who wrote
the Rainmaker,
110 in the Shade Rainmaker. And the which was the adaptation, the Rainmaker. And it's about Wildcat Wildy Jackson. She arrives in 1912 in Centavo City with dreams of striking oil, but she doesn't have money and she doesn't know how to do it. She's with her sister. She finds a guy named Joe Dynamite, who is the most successful crew foreman in the territory, and decides that he's going to help her. And of course, sparks fly.
Of course.
All right. Complications ensue. He leaves her. She gets him arrested. She comes back. She realizes she can't do anything. He's left her. So she throws something down onto the ground. And what happens? The ground starts to shake. Oil shoots
pops up.
And curtain falls.
Hey, look me over. I'm covered in oil.
So originally the idea was that the show was going to be about a very young woman trying to like make it big back then. So I'm trying to think like who back then like would have been a good casting for it. Like a
Susan Watson, or
like a young Susan Watson, or Cheetah Rivera,
Priscilla or Anita Gillette,
Either Gillettes are fine.
Yeah.
I was gonna make a joke, and I don't think we're gonna want to. No, never mind.
A rare censorship on the podcast from Rob Schneider.
I was going to make a joke about like a Gillette razor being cast, and it's not even funny. It's not even a funny joke. I'm so sorry you all had to sit there through it.
At least we got it anyway.
So N. Richard Nash is trying to find someone to do it. He gets Michael Kidd on board to direct and choreograph it.
Right.
Michael Kidd is like, you know, I don't know if Sammy Kahn and Jimmy Van Heusen, I don't know if they're the right people for it. Here's this new team you should know about, Carolyn Lee and Cy Coleman. So because of Michael Kidd, Carolyn Lee and Cy Coleman get to write the score to Wildcat.
Okay.
But now here's where it gets fun.
Ooh.
Lucille Ball has just been the queen of television, queen of comedy. Has just ended her television show, has just divorced her husband, Desi Arnaz, and wants to do something different.
Right.
So she's like, I'm going to go to Broadway. And they approach, she says, listen, I will do Wildcat, and my company, Desi Lu, will put up the entire investment.
What?
So now they have a producer.
Oh, my gosh.
But the only problem is Lucille Ball is 48 years old. She's not the young...
Right.
Ingenue.
Eight shows a week.
That's not
all what they wanted. Yeah.
And except for one show that she toured, Lucille Ball had never been on stage.
Oh, wow.
She wasn't a stage actress.
Right.
She was a film actress and then a television actress.
Musical comedy.
Right? So they asked her, like, well, okay, this is great. We're going to get the queen of television is going to make her Broadway debut.
And we don't have to pay for it.
We don't have to pay for it
because
her company. Now, this is what's really weird. Who owned Desi Lu? Her. And Desi Arnaz.
Yeah, well, they just got it.
But even though they're divorced, they're still involved in business and finances. So her ex-husband is producing her show. They ask her, who do you want to be opposite you? And she says, oh, we'll ask my friend Kirk Douglas. So Kirk Douglas.
Wait.
Kirk Douglas was going to star in Wildcat, and then he was like, oh, I'm so sorry. He's like, I've got a film. I can't do it.
Right.
So they hired a guy named Keith Andes, who was a little younger.
Keith Andes.
Do you know the actor Ryan Andes, who's around right now? It's his grandfather.
Oh.
Right?
Okay.
And Valerie Harper from Married to Mark was in the chorus of
young
the show.
Valerie Harper.
Okay. So here's some of the score, some of the songs from Wildcat, and this is why I think you should listen to it. Once again, it's Cy Coleman. It's Carolyn Lee.
What's not to
it's
like?
It's their first score together. Wow. Why would you not want to hear this?
I know.
Hey, Look Me Over.
Nice.
Which we all know.
Of course.
Hey, Look Me Over. Lend me an ear. Da, 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 da. Fresh out of clover. Mortgage up to here. But don't pass the plate, folks. Don't pass the cup. Whenever you're down and out, the only way is up. And I'll be up like... Okay, great.
No, that was sample. Great. I was impressed.
The song was so popular, Lyndon Johnson used it as his campaign theme song when he was running for vice president.
Right. That's right.
Other great songs, You've Come Home, You're a Liar, Give a Little Whistle.
Oh.
And a number that's a little offensive today, but very fun to listen to, is a number called El Sombrero.
El Sombrero.
El Sombrero, danced by Sven Svensson, who we would later use.
Stop it.
Who would later use Little Me, Sven Svensson.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Who sang I've Got Your Number.
Yeah.
Little Me.
Yeah.
Now, Svensson. Show goes out of town. It's in Philadelphia. The Variety review is great. Everyone really likes it, except there's two issues.
Uh-oh.
One, Lucille Ball didn't realize how exhausting it is.
Eight shows a week. It's killer.
Yes. Exerting all that energy. Eight shows a week.
Every single night, yes.
And she was playing a character that was the total opposite of Lucy Ricardo.
Right.
So everyone, remember, that's...
The audience is like going expecting maybe, oh, we're going to see Lucy.
You're absolutely right. You're going in and you're expecting to see...
At least
Lucy Ricardo,
yeah.
Like fighting in the grape vat.
Exactly.
Or you know...
Doing something, clowning around. She's
clowning
a clown.
Around.
Yes.
But that's not who Wildcat was. Right. So the audiences are like, where's Lucy?
Right.
Where's Lucy? So she starts changing the script... And they start changing the script to match what the audience is expecting.
Mm-hmm.
And when she meets a character that's like really, really stingy in Wildcat, she looks at him and goes, do you know a guy named Fred Mertz?
No.
So she would be ad-libbing, mentioning her television show. She worked really hard, though. At the end of the show, the curtain would go up, and she would go on stage and sing a little bit and talk and answer questions. So there was that added bonus to it as well. Unfortunately, she gets tired after a couple of months.
Right.
She leaves the show for a couple of weeks, comes back, then collapses on stage.
Oh, no.
She just passes out from sheer exhaustion. And they say, okay, then what we're going to do is we're going to put the show on hiatus for a bit. And then what happened was, the official story was, we can't reopen the show because it's on hiatus, because the musicians union is saying that the musicians have to be paid they're on hiatus.
Right.
That wasn't the thing. Lucille Ball got out and said, I don't want to do this anymore.
Wow.
I mean, think about it. You were the queen of comedy. She ran a television studio. People forget that about her. She wasn't just Lucille Ball on television.
Right.
She ran Desilu Studios. She ran most popular woman on television, runs a television studio, getting a divorce, then going to star in a new Broadway musical. Of course she's exhausted.
Yeah.
Of course she's
tired.
I'm
exhausted for her.
Right.
I mean, I am.
So anyway, though, even though that's the case, the score to Wildcat is really incredible. I don't know if we'll see it again. I don't know who would do it again if we were going to do it again, because you need a zany comedian. You need like a younger Faith Prince or someone like that. I don't know who that is right now. So anyway, I want you all to take a listen to Wildcat from 1960. It's a fantastic show. And if you go online, there's some great clips of Lucille Ball doing it on the Ed Sullivan Show. So you can get a sense of what it looked like.
Cool.
When they did it at Encores, it was Carol Lee Carmello that was singing, and she sounded amazing.
Of course.
Surprise, surprise. So mine is Wildcat.
Oh, that's fantastic. And mine is the Stephen Susskind reference book, Show Tunes.
Enjoy both.
Bye, everybody.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.